All right. Hello, everyone, and thank you very much for coming to this meeting. The reason I made this a mandatory meeting is because really everything you need to know to prepare for this trip and to have a happy and successful trip is going to be provided during this meeting. And then after this, anything that's not provided, for example, I'll be able to give you all through this meeting some general packing instructions, but I'm not going to be able to come to your house and go through your closet with you and help you decide what to pack. Some people seem to want me to give them that level of detail, but I can't. You're going to have to make some decisions on your own. But this will certainly point you in the right direction and give you some things to consider as you're going through your closet and deciding what to pack. If you have your travel book with you, that's a really good idea. You might want to have a pen or a highlighter handy so that you can highlight certain things. If you don't have your travel book with you, just writing in paper taking notes is a good idea. You can also listen to this audio again later if you want to double check, make sure you remembered everything. Hopefully everyone has received their travel books. If not, hopefully you will receive your travel book very soon. If you do not receive your travel book by, let's say the 15th, let me know. If you have not received your travel book by October 15th, let me know. One thing that's really important about the travel book, on page 2 of everybody's travel book, there's a code. It's your vacation code, and we do not all have the same vacation code. Those of us who are on option 1 have a particular vacation code, and those of us who are on option 2 have a particular vacation code. I have my book in front of me. It's the only book I have. So, like my code, I'm on option 2, which means I'm staying for 14 days. My option code is BJ, or my travel code is BJBC1020T. But those of you who are on the option 1, which means you're only going for the first part of the trip, the 9-day pilgrimage, you'll have a different code. They say this is your vacation code and your departure number. Please remember it. I won't remember it. But what I will do is I will keep this book with me. I'll bring this book with me on the trip. I will have this book in my carry-on. I will have this book in my purse. So if at any time I need to reference that vacation code or anything else in here, I will have it. And I recommend the exact same thing for every person. Keep this with you throughout the entire trip. One of the things it says on page 3 that's very important is that in many places in Europe now, whether you're using a debit card or a credit card, not just in an ATM, but when you're shopping at a store, whether it's a credit card or a debit card, you may need a 4-digit PIN. So one thing you may want to do if you don't already have 4-digit PINs on the card you're planning to bring is call your bank, your credit, the bank that issued the credit card. Let them know that you're traveling overseas. Give them the dates of the trip. Tell them you'll be at Italy. If you have stopovers, for example, in London or Germany or any place else, and you might be buying something in the airport, list those countries too, right? So maybe depending on your layovers, you might say, I'll be in Germany, Italy, and England, right? And then ask them, if you don't already have one, ask them to send you a 4-digit PIN or allow you to set a 4-digit PIN. Different banks differently. I recommend doing that right away. Francine told me it took her 7 days to get her PIN after she requested it. We have 2 weeks until we leave, so I recommend doing that tonight, maybe even, because most of these banks have 24-hour service. And then make sure you either remember your PIN or that you keep it with you, but separate from your credit cards. So if somebody happens to steal your cards, they don't also get your PIN. Yeah, Francine said 7 to 10 days turnaround. On page 4 of your book, you'll see your flights. Just make sure they're the right flights and the right flight time. I verified all of this with you through email, so it should be correct. unless they made some kind of a typo or something. But since they're picking you up and dropping you off in most cases, you want to make sure this is the correct flight information on page 4. If not, let me know immediately. And we'll get the correct flight information to them. On page 5 of your travel book, you have a reference number. The reference number is also very important. The reference number is your travel code. You remember the BJBC or BJBB and the number, but it's also a personal number. Like my reference number is 306411. I'm the only person with that number. It's kind of like my individual identifier for this trip. And you will need that if something happens, such as, oh, you have the same number? Well, then I guess it's not an individual identifier. I thought it was. 306-411, you have the same number. Okay, well, maybe it is for the trip then. But the reason you need that number is if, okay, Kathy says she doesn't. So maybe they put us in little groups, I don't know. It's semi-individual, but anyway. We don't all have the same number. Okay, good. And Kathy and Cheryl are on the same trip as us, so it's not trip related. I don't know how they divided us up into these little groups. But the point is, if something happens on the way to Italy, if a flight is delayed, if you miss a connection, anything like that, you need to call them. And in fact, on page 6 of your book, it gives you the numbers to call. Calling from within the United States or calling from outside the United States. You need to call them and let them know about your delay. And they're going to ask for these numbers. That's how they identify you, right? They're going to ask for these numbers. And it's really important to let them know, because remember, for almost all of us, they're meeting us at the airport and taking us to the hotel. So they need to know if something happens. And things happen. I just want to tell you that. Things happen. I as the trip leader, have arrived a day late before. Everybody else arrived, and Danielle and I were traveling, and things got delayed, and we had to spend a night in Spain, and we arrived a day late, right? So stuff happens. And you will call them, and they'll ask for these numbers. So again, keep this book with you so that if you have to call and identify who you are and give them your new travel information, they can find you in the system. You know what, this might be your pickup number. You know, maybe we're divided into pickup groups, except I thought Kathy and Cheryl were in the same group as me. Maybe they have smaller buses for pickup. Maybe this is the bus we're supposed to be on for pickup or something. Who knows what these numbers are? If you look on page 5 and 7 of your travel book, it tells, again, this is repeating, but it tells the flight you're coming in on. Again, this information should be correct. The flight you're departing on, this information should be correct. If not, let me know. When you look at page 8 and page 9 of your travel book, that's the list of hotels. They said they recommend photocopying this and leaving it with someone at home just in case there's an emergency. And I'll tell you, things happen. I've been on trips with people before when their parents have died while we were traveling. So this way, people will know how to reach you if something happens. So leave a copy of the hotels with somebody. Also, it's a good idea to have it with you, because if something happens, and let's say we're all supposed to be back at the bus after a particular thing, we're all supposed to be back at the bus at 3:45, you're not back, it's 4 o'clock, and the tour director says we have to go, and we go because you didn't make it back to the bus by 3:45. You'll have to get yourself back to the hotel. And that's going to be real hard to do if you don't know what hotel you're staying at or you don't know the address of the hotel. So, again, keep the hotel list with you at all times. Like I said, I'll have this book with me at all times, so I'll have all information that I need always. It's also a good idea to copy this and put it in your suitcase right on top of your clothes, because occasionally what happens if a suitcase is kind of roughly treated is that the outside tag will get torn off and they'll have no idea whose bag it is. But if you open it up and you have this hotel list and also leave your name, they'll be able to get in touch with you and let you know they found your bag, right? So have a copy inside along with your name, inside of your luggage, on top of your clothes. All right. They also say if you, for some reason, if they've given us two separate instructions for if we're delayed. One was the instruction I already gave you about calling that number, that phone number, and giving your identifier. But the other one says to call the hotel. I would probably do the first, and if I felt secure, I wouldn't bother doing the second. But if I got to the airport and there was nobody there to meet me, then I might call the hotel and find out what was going on. I probably wouldn't bother doing both. Once I notify their service, I'm going to trust they're going to take care of me. I did mention that, you know, it's possible you could get left behind if we go somewhere and you aren't back to the bus on time. It's really, really important. I can't emphasize this enough. It's really, really important when we're traveling in a group that everybody follows directions. If they say, be back at the bus at 3:45, let's all be back at the bus at 3:45. And in order to do that, you're going to need a reliable timepiece. Whether you're trusting your phone, whether you want to wear a watch, that's up to you. But it can kind of put wrinkles in the vacation for everyone, and if people are consistently late, it can ruin the vacation for everyone or the trip for everyone if you're not back on time. Because basically, we're going to be on a schedule. Sometimes there are tickets to get into a certain place, and our tickets have a timestamp on them. Like maybe we're supposed to be going into the Sistine Chapel at 9:07 a.m., and if we can't get there by 9:07 a.m. because people didn't get back to the bus from wherever we were before or didn't get to the bus from breakfast, none of us get in the Sistine Chapel, right? So being on time is really important. You also want to be able to wake yourself up, you know, like some kind of an alarm. I'll use my phone, you know. So if they say, you know, and I haven't traveled with this Italy company before, but I have traveled, you know, with Globus and Cosmos before, in Israel, and like our tour director would say, 6 a.m. get up, 6 a.m. wake up, 7 a.m. breakfast, 8 o'clock at the bus. Well, whether you want breakfast or not is your own business. Whether you want to get up at 6 or 6:30 is your own business, but 8 o'clock be at that bus, right? And if you do want to get up at 6 and have an hour before breakfast to get ready and then be at breakfast to be able to sit there and have coffee and talk to people and, you know, then listen to that schedule. 6 a.m. breakfast, no, 6 a.m. wake up and set your alarm and wake yourself up, right? And again, it's really important when we're in a group that we all kind of play along with this schedule. And you could say that individuality doesn't work well on group tours. Thinking for yourself. You know, I know that we're supposed to be back at the bus at 3:45, but I want to stand in this line and buy this sweater. This doesn't work very well on group tours. You know, if you have to be back and you didn't get to buy the sweater, you have to put the sweater down and get back to the bus. Individuality does not work well on group tours. And, you know, we're all on a spiritual path where we're supposed to be letting go of that individual thinking mind anyway, that me, me, me mind, I want mind, right? So you could say this is just an excellent opportunity to practice. And it's for the whole. So that the whole group can really have a really pleasant experience. One thing on the tour is, you know, there will be certain meal times, and I don't know when those meal times are. They haven't told me, and I've never traveled in Italy, but like in Israel, lunch often wasn't until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And some people would get very, very hungry before 2 o'clock, and again, you know, you're not going to be able to stop the whole group and say, I'm hungry, I want to eat now. So what I recommend is carrying your own snacks. You know, get some protein bars or something, bring them on the trip and carry them with you so that if the meal times aren't suited to when your individual body gets hungry, you have something to hold you over. They did tell us that all hotel taxes, service charges, tips to baggage porters and host hotel staff, those are all included in the tour price. So you do not need to, if a guy carries your luggage up to your room for you, you don't need to tip him. He's actually already been tipped. Just smile and say thank you. The exception to that is room service. If you order room service, in that case, you should tip because that tip is not covered, but the porters are covered. Also, tips that are not included, are tips to the motor coach driver, to the tour director, and to local guides. Now, those tips are considered optional, but they are also customary. And somewhere in this book, it gives you suggested tip donations. So what a lot of people do, and in fact, you received an envelope with your travel packet, what a lot of people will do is look at those suggested donations, those suggested tips, and actually put the tips aside at the beginning of the trip so that they don't accidentally spend that money. And if at the end of the trip you weren't happy and you don't want to tip, or you don't want to tip that full amount, you can take some of the money back out of the envelope. But setting it aside at the beginning of the trip before you spend all of your money is a good idea in case you get to the end and want to tip. I did have one trip once where I thought, you know what, I don't want people to have to tip. So I included those tips in the tour price. And that just didn't work at all because people fell in love with our bus driver. They fell in love with our tour director. And even though their tour price already included a very nice tip that I had already given to both of them on behalf of the entire group, everybody tipped them anyway because they wanted to. And these guys got tipped, you know, way more than usual. So ever since then, I have not included the tips. That way, if your heart wants a tip, you can. If your heart doesn't want a tip, you don't have to. But setting the money aside at the beginning in case you want to is a good idea. So that's what the envelopes are for. Also, if you happen to want to, and again, this is also optional, when you return from the trip, you could make a donation to Awakening Together. We did not raise the tour prices in order to cover, you know, all of the work that went into planning this trip. We didn't even charge you for the mailings. We spent a couple of hundred dollars on mailing these packets to all of y'all, and you weren't charged for that either. So if you feel like when you get back, if it feels good to you, and if it's something you want to do is make a donation to Awakening Together, please do. If not, that's okay. It's optional. It's not required. If you look on starting on page 11 of your travel book, you'll see our itinerary. Now, I requested a slow, leisurely itinerary so that we would have time for contemplation. If you were to pull up like a public Globus or Cosmos itinerary, they probably have at least twice as many places they visit in one day, if not more than twice as many. But when you're on those tours, what happens is you feel like you get to jump out of the bus, take a picture, jump back on. You don't get to actually be anywhere. So I created a custom tour that is intended to be much slower paced, so that we can be everywhere. Now, I want to tell you something. I have not worked with these people before. And although I was very, very clear in my communication regarding the intention of this itinerary, I do not know for a fact if they've listened. And like I told you, when they buy the tickets to go from one place to another, some of these tickets are time-stamped because there's so many crowds there, right? So, you know, we may have to get into the Sistine Chapel at an exact time and St. Peter's Basilica at an exact time. And if they looked at this and said, oh, look, I'll be off work by noon. You know, I get to take them here, 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 and then we're off work. If they did that, that's something we now have no control over. I'm hoping they didn't, but if they did, we have no control over that. So if that happened and we just end up with lots of free time afterwards, then we'll make the best of it and we'll walk around and see other things together and contemplate. I'm hoping they spread things out the way it was intended. Like I said, I was very clear in my communication that this was a contemplative trip. I even went to them and said, if we want to spend a lot of time at each place, do you think this is too many things? Should we rearrange it? I mean, I worked with them on that. But when it comes right down to it, I just can't guarantee what this trip is going to look like. So We'll just have to be with it in whatever way it is. And remember our purpose. Remember our purpose, and find our way to stay in touch with the contemplative purpose of the trip. I do notice on the book it says that, you know, after each thing, this space is for you to enter times as indicated by your tour director. That's so you can write down, like after we go to the Coliseum, you can write down what time you're supposed to be back at the bus, for example. As crazy as it sounds, I recommend doing that, because what will happen is people jump out of the bus, they're so excited to be somewhere, and then they get out there and they go, oh shoot, what time were we supposed to be back? I don't remember. Right? It's a really good idea to keep this book with you, and when they tell you what time to be back at the bus, write it down, so if you forget, you can look, oh yeah, we're supposed to be back at 9:30. Oh gosh, we only got 10 minutes, we better get back, right? So use those spaces to write down when you're supposed to be back on the bus. I mentioned that it's up to us to enable this trip to have the purpose we intend, which is a contemplative purpose. And the truth is, the only one who can make sure this trip is a contemplative trip for me and doesn't deteriorate into just a vacation is me. And no one can take that away from me, not even if they scheduled the tour really fast everywhere and then drop us off early at the hotel. Nobody can ruin my purpose for me. It's completely up to me. And one thing I've done to try and help you all have a more contemplative experience is I've started a Facebook group, which many of you are already in. It's called the 2018 AT Italy Pilgrimage. And I'm already making posts in that group to help get our minds into a contemplative state, to start preparing ourselves so that when we're at a place, you know, like we're at Pompeii, or we're at St. Benedict's Monastery, you know, something in you has already been touched regarding why we're going there, and you're able to contemplate just being there. You know, and I'll give you additional material on the trip as well. But if you are pre-prepared, you know, like when you go to the Sea of Galilee in Israel, I don't really have to give you hardly anything, because you walk up to the Sea of Galilee, you've been hearing about the Sea of Galilee all your life, and as soon as you find out, wow, I'm at the Sea of Galilee, you just kind of drop into contemplation. It happens. Now, some of these places in Italy aren't going to be as familiar, but if you have, you know, like St. Benedict's Monastery, for example, but if you've been, you know, reading what I'm posting in the Facebook group, you're going to have some kind of a connection there, and then when you arrive, it'll have some meaning for you, something to contemplate. So I recommend paying attention to the Facebook group. It's just going to help you have a better experience, a better contemplative experience while we're there. But in addition, I am preparing a book that I will send to each of you. It's a PDF book that gives you things to contemplate at each of the locations as well. I also recommend bringing a notebook or a journal, especially if you can get one that's about the same size as this travel book, and keep it in your purse. And if you're a guy, you know, you might want to consider carrying a bag. I know guys don't always carry bags, but you might want to consider carrying a bag of some type so that you can have your notebook and your travel book with you. I don't actually recommend backpacks, because some of the places we're going will not let you in with a backpack. Backpacks are associated with terrorists, so it needs to be a different kind of a bag, right? So, you know, a man bag of some type maybe. But if you have a notebook or a journal, when we are at places, you know, assuming we do have the time I've requested, you'll be able to sit down, do some contemplation, do some writing. It will make it a much deeper experience for you. And I would even love it while we're in Italy, if people are contemplating and journaling about the experience, if you go ahead and post your contemplations, or at least the ones you want to share, in the Facebook group. While we're in Italy, We can be looking at the Italy Facebook group and reading each other's contemplations, and that's also going to deepen our experience. Because the way I contemplate Saint Benedict and the way you contemplate Saint Benedict may not be the same. And when we read each other's contemplations of Saint Benedict, it's really going to open us up to an even broader way of seeing seeing things. So consider posting your contemplations in the Facebook group while we are in Italy. They have listed some optional excursions on page 16, and I guess we'll just find out when we get there who wants to go and who doesn't want to go and how that works out. There's one optional excursion that as far as I know, it's what we talked about that's not listed here. It's called Villa d'Est. It's supposed to be a really fantastic place. It belonged to a really rich, rich Roman person. It's like an old Roman mansion. It doesn't have any spiritual significance. We're going to Subacchio, which is where the St. Benedict Monastery and the St. Scholastia Monastery are. And on the way back to Rome, this place is like on the way. So what we agreed to is that if there was time and if the group wanted to, we will stop there. But that has not been included in your tour price, so we would have to pay. And I think they told me the price is about 60 euros, 50 or 60 euros. If we stop there, interestingly, it's something we have to decide as a group that we're all willing to do, because they will not allow anyone to stay on the bus while we go in there. So we'll just have to see how that goes. You know, if everybody's like, yeah, let's go, and willing to pay that money, then we'll be able to go to this, and assuming we have the time. But if there's part of the group that just really doesn't want to, I'd rather get back to the hotel, it's something we'll have to bypass. So even though that's not listed as an optional excursion, as far as I know, it is. That's what we talked about, and it does show up in our itinerary. It says right there in our itinerary that if there's time, we'll stop there. Yeah, if you want to just look at it in your itinerary, because I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. It is on day 5. Villa d'Est is how I'm saying it. It says, on the return to Rome, if there's time, stop at the masterpiece of the Italian garden, Villa d'Est, a UNESCO World Heritage Site. So that's it. I don't know anything about the dentist, unless they're listed in the itinerary itself. Anything that's listed in the itinerary, but otherwise I don't know about those optional dinners. So I'm sure our tour guide will let us know when we're there. Now, those weren't things I actually requested, so that's probably why they're optional. You know, just gives them an opportunity to show us a little more and probably even make a little more money. Now, page 17. Oh my God, this page is important. Oh my God. You guys listening? Please do not forget your passport. Please make sure your passport is current. Please make sure your passport is current for 6 months beyond the date when you depart Italy, because you can get there and not be admitted into the country if you do not have the documentation you need. And on our last trip, this happened. On our last trip, we flew from the US to Germany, and then we were changing planes in Germany and going to India. One person, to go to India, we have to have visas. To go to Italy, we don't. But one person's visa was expiring on, I don't remember the exact date, I'll say February 10th. And we were arriving after midnight, like 8 minutes after midnight on February 11th. And those dates are made up, but 8 minutes after. And because their visa expired on February 10th, that person was turned around in Germany and sent back to the U.S. and had to pay for the plane tickets, which were very expensive at last minute, and lost the entire all the money they put on the trip. Make sure you pack your passport. Make sure it is a current passport. Make sure those dates are, make sure your passport is still in effect for at least 6 months after the date that you're leaving the country. And if that is not true, I don't know if it may be too late to get a passport now, but you know, check into it. Because if you don't have the right documentation, they will just turn you around. They say here, vacations can be disrupted. Like I said, that happens. At the front of your passport, there's a, at least in the US passports, there's a place that says next of kin, emergency next of kin. Fill that out in pencil. That's always to be filled out in pencil so that if somebody moves or has a new phone number or you get a new next of kin due to a divorce or something, you can erase it and put a new one in. But make sure that's filled out just in case you're injured or something on the trip. We can pull out your passport, look at it, and know who to notify. In addition, we did also give Cosmos and Globus a list of emergency contacts for each of you. But they recommend filling out this part of the passport as well. Also, what they recommend, and I think it's a great idea, is that you make photocopies of your driver's license, your birth certificate, and your passport, and then email those photocopies to yourself and let them set there in your inbox. The purpose of that is if something happens, like somebody steals your purse or man bag while we're in Italy and you lose all that stuff, it's much easier to get it replaced if you have a copy of your passport, a copy of your driver's license, and a copy of your birth certificate. So if they're sitting there in your email, then you can go to the consulate, you can, you know, access your email, print them, and get a replacement passport much easier. So just copy these things, scan those copies, and send them to yourself and just let them sit there. Another option is that you could print them, carry them with you, but then again, if your bag gets stolen, those may be stolen as well. So I like sending them to myself and just letting them sit in my inbox while I'm traveling. They also recommend travel protection, insurance. However, they gave us a deadline, which was in June, to get that travel protection. So if anybody really feels like you want the travel protection, the insurance, and you don't have it, it says in the book, you know, contact them now. So if you really feel like you want it, email me and I'll email them and say, so-and-so wants this, can they have it? But I will tell you, they gave us a deadline, which was way back in June, and we've passed that deadline, so I don't know for sure that you can get it. One thing that's important on this trip is that there is going to be walking. I recommend really comfortable walking shoes. And if you have any kind of mobility problems, you know, bring like a collapsible walking stick so that you don't lose your balance and those kinds of things. I've never been on one of these trips where it didn't involve a lot of walking. They say expect about 2 hours total a day. I'll tell you, sometimes it feels like more than that. If you don't walk on a regular basis, we're only 2 weeks away from the trip, but I would recommend starting to walk daily now, so that you can get somewhat in shape before the trip, because if you're suffering because you're having to move and you're not used to moving, the trip is not a lot of fun. So just start taking walks every day, get yourself used to walking, and you'll have a lot more fun on this trip. It won't be a burden for you. Also, one thing you want to be careful about is your cell phone. I have had people go overseas and they went ahead and texted everybody like they usually do and read email on the bus and, you know, everything, and they get home and they have phone bills that are over $1,000. You know, data overseas is very expensive. What they recommend that you do is get an international cell phone package, and depending on who your carrier is, they have different packages. You can check into that. I used to do that. I don't do that anymore. What I do now is I put my phone on airplane mode, and I leave it on airplane mode the entire time I'm overseas. The only time that I use my phone is when I'm where there is Wi-Fi. I only use Wi-Fi overseas, you know, because you can use Wi-Fi while you're on airplane mode. And that's why I recommended the WhatsApp app. because you cannot send regular text messages on Wi-Fi. You have to have a cell data. And again, it will cost more when you're overseas because you'll have that roaming charge. The WhatsApp app, it's just like texting, but you can do it on Wi-Fi. So what I do when I'm overseas, I use WhatsApp, and I communicate with my family and with my other travelers. Now, that does mean you cannot communicate with me if I'm not at the hotel, for example, right? But at the hotel, if we, if we got dropped off at the hotel at 3:30, we're all resting and it's getting to be around 6 and we want to start going to dinner. If we have WhatsApp, we can start texting each other. Hey, does anybody want to go to dinner? WhatsApp, WhatsApp. And what I asked everyone to do a couple weeks ago, if they wanted to join the WhatsApp group, was to email their telephone numbers to me. And if you haven't done that, go ahead and do it. I'll create a second WhatsApp group and I'll send it out. Let's say this time, send me your phone number by Friday, October 12. And then I'll send out an updated list to everybody so everybody has everybody's phone numbers and you can reach each other via WhatsApp. You can ask someone, hey, there's this church down the road. Anybody want to walk with me down to this church? While we're at the hotel on free time. Anybody want to go with me? It's a great way to communicate with each other and not accidentally use cell data or something like that that's going to be very expensive. Cheryl is saying you can also talk to your carrier on how to use your phone to save data and dollars, or go to a store and the sales staff can help you with the settings. Yeah, like I said, I just like to stay on airplane mode. It's just simple. And I don't have any surprises when I get home. And then I use WhatsApp while I'm on Wi-Fi. But at the bottom of page 18 is where it says, if you have not yet taken out travel protection insurance, please see your travel professional before your trip. And like I said, if you really want it, contact me and I'll ask them. They gave us a deadline though, so I don't know, because the book says one thing and our deadline was months ago. So I'll find out for you if you want that travel protection. Suitcase. This is on page 19. Again, I want to say very, very important. Just like I said, passport, very, very important. Suitcase, very, 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 very important. And this again is where you're going to have to maybe let go of your individuality. People want to do something different than the suitcase requirements, than what we're allowed. But if you do, all the suitcases will not fit on the bus. It creates a problem. All right? You are allowed one large suitcase. And on page 19 of the book, they tell you how big it can be. But basically, in the US, 50 pounds, right? You are not allowed to bring one of those wheel carry-ons as your second bag. You are not allowed to bring one of those wheel carry-ons as your second bag. You get one suitcase. And you'll just have to figure out how to pack within that one suitcase. Again, there will not be room for everyone's luggage on the bus if we do not follow these luggage requirements. So it's very important. You are allowed to bring a personal item and a carry-on, but the carry-on dimensions they give you here are very small. They say 12 by 11 by 6. That's about the size of the average woman's purse. Some women have purses bigger than this. The reason for that is the carry-ons that you bring have to fit under the seat in front of you on the bus, and there's not as much room under the seats on the bus as there is on the airplane. Now, even though this carry-on is very small, almost like a second purse, I do recommend bringing this carry-on because sometimes what happens when people are traveling overseas is their luggage doesn't make it to overseas quite as quickly as they do. In fact, one time I went to India and my luggage arrived 2 days after me. So there are some things you might want with you when your luggage doesn't arrive. Like you might want changes of underwear, maybe even a fresh shirt, toothpaste, toothbrush, medications, right? So what I recommend doing with your carry-on is packing, just enough stuff so that if your bag arrives 1 or 2 days late, you can get by. Yeah, the backpack with wheels is not acceptable. In fact, they were very clear, nothing will be allowed on the bus with wheels. Yeah, nothing will be allowed on the bus with wheels. And no back, you could bring a very, very tiny, tiny backpack, but not a very big backpack. It'd be almost like the kind that that a little girl wears, you know, a six-year-old girl wears. But again, most of the churches we're going in, or at least some of the churches we're going in, will not allow backpacks. So backpacks are not your best choice on this trip. Yeah, backpacks are not your best choice. There are some very tiny carry-ons that sometimes you can find that fit this dimension. You know, so I mean, I don't even know for sure what I'm going to do, but yeah, you have to think about the bus too on this trip. That's why the dimensions of that second carry-on are so small, because they have to be able to fit under the seat of the bus. Yeah, and they don't allow wheels at all on anything, because as the bus drives, I guess things roll around. I don't know. They talk about it in the book. And again, what I don't know for sure is how strict they are on this stuff, but I think it's better that we all just follow their rules. I do know that if people bring a big suitcase and then a big wheel carry-on, all of the luggage will not fit under the bus. So we have to do that. And I just recommend, you know, letting go of individual preferences, letting go of I think I need, and just following these guidelines. You know, it's kind of like letting go of ego. And it helps us all to have a happier, safer trip. The large bag can have wheels, Ruby. Yeah, the one large bag can, yes, have wheels. Right? The large bag can. Ron says, so no item that will hold a rain jacket or hold layered clothing. Well, my rain jacket is very small. It will fit right in my purse. So I guess it depends on how big your rain jacket is. You know, I just have one of those ponchos. And the layered clothing, you know, I wear. And as I take it off, I leave it in my seat on the bus, or I tie it around my waist. You know, I don't carry like a backpack to carry my clothing in. I wear the clothing. And if it gets warm, like if I had on a light sweater and it got warm, then when we get off the bus in the middle of the afternoon, I'd just leave my sweater on the bus in my seat. You know, I wouldn't try carrying it in a backpack or anything. Okay, good. Any other questions about the luggage? Because the luggage is always one where people really squirm for some reason. It's always a big challenge getting people to follow the luggage requirements. I'll tell you what, if you ever go to India with us, it's doubly important, because there everything is so small. The buses are so small, you know, it's just, but yeah, it's important on this trip too. One of the things that was included with your travel packet is a Cosmos luggage tag. Oh, Karen asked if people are taking a computer and putting it in the large bag. I personally wouldn't recommend that, because traveling overseas, luggage is there's more of a possibility that luggage could get lost and you'll never see it again. I am not taking my computer. I'm only taking a smartphone. I will leave my computer here. But I don't recommend putting anything valuable in your checked bag. Nothing at all. Keep all your valuables with you. Yeah, a small bag and a purse. That's what it amounts to. A small bag and a purse, and then a big bag that you check. Or a man purse. I'll see if I can find some pictures of the type of carry-on that you can take, and maybe send them to you guys if you're having trouble imagining them. I'll see if I can find a picture and send you one. Anyway, about the tag, you have a white tag that came in your package. You want to fill this tag out and attach it to your luggage, because like when we go to the hotels and stuff, that's how the porters know which bag to grab and take to which room, and when we're leaving, which bus to put it back on, right? So you want to fill this out. Now, those of you who are overseas, you know, in Germany and Australia and Ireland, I will bring your tags to you and give them to you at the Rome airport, and you can attach them to your luggage then. So I'll have your tags with me, and I'll give them to you right away. But it's really important that we all use these tags, or again, your luggage could possibly get lost even during the trip, because the porters won't know what, you know, where to put it. Ken is asking, would a CPAP be considered your small carry-on? I think so. I would ask the airline about that, but I would say yes. That probably would be considered your small carry-on. But I don't know if the airline allows a carry-on, a personal item, and a CPAP, for example. So I would ask the airline about that. But if they only allow a personal item and one carry-on, then yes, that's going to be your small carry-on. They said they recommend traveling light, wrinkle-resistant, easy-to-care cotton and polyester clothing. Now, this is also very important. Okay, this is very important. Again, not everybody listens, so I like to really announce things that Americans just don't want to hear. The way they do electricity overseas is different. And if everybody gets in there with their curling irons and, you know, their electric razors and their blow dryers, it can literally, you know, blow the circuits and cause a brownout. You know, all the electricity goes out in the hotel. They're just not set up to handle all of the electrical, little electrical appliances that Americans are used to carrying around. So they say, do not bring your travel irons. They're not permitted. Do not bring your curling irons. And in fact, don't even bring your hair dryer. Use the hair dryer that's provided there because it has the proper wattage. The hotel is planning for that level of wattage. And I know people who really like to iron everything and curl their hair and all of that, you know, are discouraged by this. But again, it hurts everybody, not just our group, but everybody in the hotel if we blow the electricity out because we're using too many of our small appliances. I see Ruby is asking about the tour code. Ruby, the tour code is on page 2 of your book. Page 2 of your book will have your tour code. In your case, it's BJBC1020T, but it's in your book. And then your specialized code is on page 5, and I can't tell you what that is. Oh, and Ron is saying his wife blew out the whole wing of a hotel with her hairdryer. Yeah, so leave your small appliances like that at home, you know? And it's okay with me if you don't curl your hair. I promise to still love you. All right. Packing tips. They say sportswear is fine. By sportswear, they don't mean sweats and shorts. They really mean kind of being dressed in a sporty way, right? That's fine. You know, a casual kind of sporty way. But when we go in the churches, people expect a kind of respectful clothing. I you know, it's funny because all I own are jeans and dresses. And because if we were going to go in the hot summer, I would wear dresses and skirts. But since it's not going to be hot summer and I don't want to wear jeans, I actually don't want to be that casual going into these churches. I've bought 4 pairs of dress slacks. I didn't even have dress slacks. But I've bought 4 pairs of light polyester dress slacks that I'm going to be wearing on this trip. So keep in mind that we're going to be in a foreign country. They're not Americans. Americans are extremely casual with our t-shirts and our sweats and our shorts. Europe is not that casual, and especially not in the churches. So just, you know, sporty is fine, but make sure your clothing is, you know, just consider it respectful clothing. Also, shoulders absolutely must be covered. So like you can't wear sleeveless blouses or shirts. Your shoulders have to be covered when we go into the churches. And your knees have to be covered. Capris are okay, but shorts are not. Knees and shoulders must be covered. And all things should be kind of respectful, not like Americans dress. Should you see the Americans sometimes, right? American women in the grocery store in their pajama bottoms. You know, I mean, we've just done casual out the yin yang, but it's not like that there, and especially not in the churches and the monasteries. So respectful clothing, but be comfortable. Yeah, also they say no mini skirts. Again, your knees have to be covered. No bare shoulders, no backpacks, right? I do recommend that you have a comfortable way of carrying water. Yeah, no slippers, no house slippers. A comfortable way of carrying water. What I have is a purse that has a water holder in it. You can also just buy water holders, you know, that will hold a bottle and you can kind of wear it over your shoulder. If you don't mind carrying it in your hand, that's fine too. I don't like to carry things in my hand though. Yeah, open-toed sandals are fine. Yeah, open-toed, there's nothing wrong with your toes showing. That's fine. The thing you want to be careful about with your shoes, make sure you have tread. Some sandals, you look at the bottom, they're like treadless, right? They're like leather. And you can slip and fall on some of these streets, especially cobblestone streets. They can be very slick. So make sure whatever shoes you wear have some decent rubber-soled tread on the bottom. I will probably wear some kind of dressy Clarks sneakers during the day, you know, because they'll look okay with my sporty, you know, business casual look, but yet they're very comfortable shoes to walk around in. They have good tread. But open toe is fine if you want to be open toe. That's fine. I don't recommend anything like high heels, right? Because again, we're going to be doing a lot of walking, sometimes on uneven surfaces. So you don't want to fall. We did have someone fall on a trip once and thought she broke her ankle. Fortunately, she didn't. Just sprained it. But you know, be careful. Make sure you have shoes that you can walk around in. Remember, you're going to be getting up and down off of a bus, right? So whatever shoes you need to wear to make all of that work for you. If you look on page 20, you'll notice the temperatures in October. In Rome, low 56, high 71. November, low 46, high 62. So it looks like we can really expect the 60s and the 70s while we're there. Assisi, a little cooler, 50s and 60s. So this is why you want layers. Kathy says no tennis shoes. I think they're okay during the day. They're not okay at dinner. At dinner, you're expected to not have on sneakers or tennis shoes. So I will bring a different pair of shoes for dinner. Yeah. But during the day, that's okay. I'll have Clark's sneakers or Clark's tennis shoes. They're kind of nicer ones, you know, but I will have those on during the day. So again, temperatures, anything from, you know, let's say probably in case it's extra hot, let's say it could be 80 and it could be 45 if it gets extra cold, right? Yeah, I think the sneakers are okay in the churches. Yes. Yes. What to bring? There's a list on page 20. Again, it's a high-level list, but it's an important list to look at because otherwise you could forget things. Whenever I pack, I go right down this list. The passport, got it. You know, my flight documents, I got it. My debit cards, my PIN codes, I got it. My glasses, I got it. My collapsible walking stick if I want it, I got it. I mean, I go right down this list. But also, what I start doing, you know, in my case, a few days before, some of you might even do it a couple weeks before, I keep a piece of paper laying like on my kitchen table. And when I think of something I want to pack, I don't want to forget, I run over and I write it down. And then when I pack, I go down my list and I make sure I have everything. But you know how it is, something will come flying into your mind. And you'll think, okay, I'll remember that, and then later you forget. In fact, maybe even if you aren't home a lot, maybe you need to keep a piece of paper in your purse or in your back pocket or something, so that when an idea comes up about something you want to take, you can write it down. Also, if some people may need to prioritize things, like this is a first priority packing item, this is a second priority packing item, because some of you, when you go to pack, when you're only allowed one bag, you're going to find out your list was longer than your bag is big. And you're going to have to start making decisions about what to leave behind. Maybe I don't need five pairs of shoes. Maybe I can get by with two, right? So on your list, you might prioritize. This is first priority, first priority, first. Okay, second priority, if it fits, good. If not, I can live without it. But definitely use your list as you pack, because if you get there and you find out you don't have shampoo, you know, to be honest, I don't know how far the nearest store is that sells shampoo or how easy it is to find, you know. So you're going to a foreign country, a place you've never been. It's better just to make sure you have everything you need with you. They recommend, again, layers, because like I said, the weather could be anywhere from 45 to 80 while we're there. So be prepared for that. They also recommend sunglasses, sunscreen, a sun hat, insect repellent, warm socks, just in case, you know, it's a cold day. and I'm not going to read this whole list to you. You guys can read it. It's on page 20, page 21. Again, do not put your identification, your passport in your checked luggage. You have to keep that with you all the time. Oh, Ron says he finds it helpful to start getting up earlier in the morning, about 15 minutes prior to, you know, prior to the start of the trip, so that he's, I guess, getting ready for a different schedule. They said they strongly advise against traveling with large amounts of cash. Also, without, you know, they don't bring your expensive jewelry. Leave all of it at home. I will tell you, in Rome, there are most definitely people who are willing to pickpocket and rob. So you need to be aware that there are pickpocketers and there are people who will rob you. Don't dress in a way that encourages that. And don't flash money around. In fact, what I do is I usually put a little bit of money in my wallet. And then if there's other money I'm carrying that day, I put it like inside a zipper section of my purse. And when I go to pay for something, I pull out the wallet and all you see is the little bit of money. And then later, if I need to go in a bathroom stall or something, or on the bus where I feel safe and take more money from the hidden zipper and put it in the wallet, I will. But when you open that wallet, you don't want it to look like, oh my God, you know, look at all that money. I personally do tend to get the euros I think I'll spend, and I carry them with me on the trip. Because when to run out of money and then to have trouble finding an ATM in a foreign country is, to me, no fun. So I do carry my money with me, but as I mentioned, I keep part of it kind of hidden and out of sight, so you don't see all that money when I open my wallet. I also will take a credit card and a debit card in case I need them or just see something I want so much, even though I didn't take that much money with me, that I gotta have it, right? So I take my spending cash, which I personally am taking $850 worth of euros, a debit card, and a credit card. And that's what I take overseas. And then I make sure that I don't have too much cash showing at any moment. I carry a purse that I wear over my shoulder, and the front of it, which you could reach into, I keep that turned towards my body. How much you convert to euros before the trip is a personal decision. I cannot tell you what to do, but I can tell you what I'm going to do. $850. But I can't tell you what to do. You'll have to decide that for yourself. Also, you may have to order euros from your bank. You may walk in your bank and they may say, we don't have that many euros. So check with your bank, let them know when you're coming, and make sure they have the euros on hand that you want. You can also exchange money at airports. They have plenty of money, and usually the hotels have money too. Now we're almost out of time, so let me look. Again, lots of tips here that you can read in your book. Another thing that I recommend is get your flu shots before you fly. You'd be surprised how often and people come home from an overseas trip sick, and I think part of that is because you're sitting on the plane for a very long time in a closed environment where the air is being recycled. So I do recommend going and getting your flu shot before you travel. That will help you not to get sick. What else do I want to say here? Yeah, I think a lot of what I said here, because at some point in this book, they almost start repeating themselves, but I do recommend reading the entire book on your own. Read the entire book, highlight things. Again, they said they recommend at least 50 euros a day. Is that what they said? For food. No, they said dinner can be 50 euros. So they recommend at least 60 euros a day. I'm taking $60 a day, which is more than 60 euros for my food. Tipping guidelines, they said if you tip, it's like 10 to 15%. Oh, they said lots of times there is a service charge on the bill, though. If there's a service charge, that means the tip is. Did you guys lose me? No, it means the tip is included. Yeah, and Ron is saying the airports have teller machines. There are other singles. Let's see. Maria is a single from Germany, and Anne Blanchard is a single. Ron is a single, and Jay is a single. So we have five singles on this trip. I think that's really all I need to say to you guys. Oh, good, we're out of time. So make sure you read this entire book, but I think that was the most important stuff. But read the entire book. You know, again, passports are really important. Making sure that you do not bring more luggage than you're supposed to is really important. And having a good packing list is really important. And then carrying this book with you, all important documents, and in your small carry-on, have some stuff there in case your luggage doesn't make it as fast as you. Okay? All right. I will see you guys in a couple of weeks in Rome. All right. Oh, and Lynn says, don't take pictures of military personnel. There we go. All right. See y'all. Bye.